Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And welcome, everyone. This is Andrew Fetter. Of course, that was Linkin Park in the end. And welcome to When Pigs Fly. And it's been just a couple weeks since the last give my little speech here. Welcome all you listening and future listeners and past listeners. This is a very special show, one which I feel, you know, usually when I think of a show to come up or what time, it's sometimes transparent to sort of goes in lineage of where you are at one particular time. But I often find that the same thing that I see that other people's are going through, so I feel it's always nice to go in the same comparison. Now, if I lost you what I meant there, well, just enjoy the ride and just take it in for a moment, because life is but a journey. And I feel like my journey and everybody's journey, we have the same sort of journey. And that's what I was going to talk about or discuss. Because all things do change. And we do have a thing called attachments. And we do have a thing called karma. But before I do, I would like to give a special announcement. Special events coming up. For those living in the Los Angeles area or Ventura County area or in the vicinity, I have three major events happening, all in the same location. On the 23rd of February, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., I will be discussing creating, manifesting the practice and the Kabbalah and its living meditation. You'll learn to manifest with a greater understanding of creating within the universe under the guiding hand of Kabbalistical perspective. Again, this will be held at Soul Centered Shop. That's at 311 North Montgomery Street, Ojai, California, 93023. And their tel number is 805-640-8222. Again, that's 805-640-8222. And that's on February 23rd. And that's a Saturday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And then I'm having an engagement at the same location on March 30th. And I'll be discussing what a lot of people keep always asking me about, since I have a book about it called Spirit, which you can always check out. And, of course, I'm talking about astral projection or Merkava going out of body. And I'll be explaining the Kabbalistic experience, and you'll learn the concepts of Merkava and astral projection and the concepts and the practice held within the universe under the guiding hand, again, under a Kabbalistic perspective. This, of course, will be held again at Soul Centered Shop, 311 North Montgomery Street, Ojai, California, 93023. Again, the tel number is 805-640-8222. And, of course, that will be, like I said, March 30th. That's a Saturday. It will be held at 4:30 to 6 p.m. So do come on down. And the following week, I've been asked to, and I always love doing this, is they have a special thing called WordFest in the Ojai area. So I've been asked, and I feel honored to do so, from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the same location at Soul Centered Shop, 311 North Montgomery Street, Ojai, California, 93023, and their number is 805-640-8222. I'm sorry. And you'll see it on my posting as well. So if you lost that info, on that day on the WordFest, I will be speaking about the essence of Kabbalah, what it really is, and you may, of course, heard about it. If you've often wondered who you are, why are we here, what is our universe, why do these events come within our life, who and why have I encountered these relationships or this relation, or why, how, what, how come, it's really that simple, Kabbalah, its essence. And I will discuss in its concepts many things, including spiritual concepts in relation to the universe, the soul, thoughts, healing, guides, tikkun, the het, life, death, dreams, out of body, numbers, reincarnation within the path of Kabbalism. Of course, this has helped to develop healing oneself to our greater self-worth, self-love, with a greater understanding of the infinite universe and the universe love and joy, utilizing the universe and God's unconditional love. Again, that's being held at Soul Center Shop, 311 North Montgomery Street, Ojai, California, 93023. Telephone number 805-640-8222. And look forward to seeing you all there. That will be a unique presentation. That will actually be more of a general talk when I get into that. So do come on down. Now, for today's show, I was just talking to him, the producer of the show, and I told him, hey, I just moved. So you look at the things when you move, and you think about all, when you go through that move, you see all the stuff you have. And all the stuff you have that you're sweating, labor, taking it with you. I mean, think about all the things, the items that you just drag around with you from one place to another. So think about that. That's part of life. if you think about that, when you die and you go into another life and you come back, you're carrying all that karmic weight with you, which I'll explain. You're carrying all those experiences with you. Now, the experience is not that heavy. It's the weighted responses to them, which I'll explain. And the reason why I'm using this correlation, because we tend to get detachments of different things in terms of perspectives. So like I said, it's amazing when one moves, one can really see all the stuff. And I do mean stuff that we're certainly attached to. I mean, it's amazing how depending we're on the based upon our own perspective, what we assume our needs really are. And these needs are often called our attachments. But attachments are both, are both physical as well as spiritual as well as mental. And in life's journey, we often focus on certain attachments, like the material necessity of life. These are absolutely attachments that you wouldn't be here if you didn't have it. I mean, like food, shelter, clothing. These are things that you probably would not be able to survive if you didn't have them, right? You'd simply die. Then we go beyond the simple things that we are absolutely need, I guess from being caveman or whatever you want to call it, the very bare minimum. And then you move beyond that. And that would be like the luxurious items. I mean, people go even beyond, let's say, I need a car to get around. Makes it easier. It's a necessity. It becomes attachment. Society places certain things that we have to have attachments. You have to get a driver's license. You have to get, these are attachments. You have to have a bank account to pay bills. If you don't, then you have to run, make money. I mean, there's certain attachments in society that have been created. And I'm not talking just those of society, but then the things we look upon that we necessarily need. Would you sleep on a bed or a floor? Is that an attachment? It's a necessary attachment. You suddenly have furniture and chairs and tables. How would you eat? With silverware or no silver? With your hands? Out of a plate or bowl? So you can go on and on and throwing what material needs and what material things are actually become attachments. What about a phone? How would you be able to communicate? Now that becomes a societal thing that now we need as attachment. Our cell phones are now necessary. You couldn't even get around without a cell phone these days. A computer today has become so necessary thing. On the internet, checking things, downloading, banking, pay bills, email. Has that now become an attachment? The TV with all its communication, its massive amount of entertainment. Some have informed them, some simply as entertainment. Attachment. DVD players, music, iPods, stereos. We have added all these things based upon our own idiosyncrasies as well as our societal needs and our own perspectives. Yet we assume these things, and yet within these own things, we also have within our own idiosyncrasies, with our own little special way, our own personalities. We may even include and add things like guitars and art stuff and sporting goods, or even religious sporting items, or pictures, or art. We'll even have logs of papers and files and records and job stuff, and I could go on and on of all this stuff. I mean, you could simply look around in your own house, and you'll see the multitudes of this stuff. And what is it? There's a show, in fact, my girlfriend was watching the other day, and I was laughing because here I'm doing a show about attachments. I'm watching about hoarding. And it's about this, I guess when it gets a sickness of attachments, and these people have so much stuff in their house, they can't even get through it. So just imagine that in your life. All this crap inside your house, you can't even get out. And everything you want to, they have to hold on. I mean, they're sure trying to get these, I mean, this lady, this couple, and remove things, and it was broken down things, and outside she says, no, it's good, I want it. Everything is held on, they have to have it. And you hear these people are looking at it like that, but then we ourselves are hoarders in different ways. We're hoarding of our karmic attachments. So let me look at this, though. See, we often look, and this is where I have a differential between where you'll hear from a lot of people talk of desires, like Buddha says, no desires, and some Taoists, oh, we haven't have attachments and desires. But this is where I think it's blurred and people get confused. because they broad stroke things, and you can't really broad stroke things to that point without it being more explicit. Because some attachments are negative and some of our positive. I mean, look at the attachment that you have to have food. We do have a plate to eat off of. Is that now a plate attachment? The Civil War, roof over your head. I mean, see, I can go on and on. How about the information I'm talking to you right now, this through perhaps the internet or cell phone or whatever device you use to listen to this show? Is that now in a negative attachment or positive? Is that something bad? Or who's placing the judgment? Who's being God here? So you can't play God either or. It's all out of one's perspective, right? So who's to say what is important and what isn't? Yet, within our own lifetime of experiences, through multiple over and over, we include in our past life and experiences of karma, we carry attachments. Attachments are around us, always. You've maybe, like I said, been told about desires, and they led to attachments. And this is quite well said within even Tao Te Ching, and even within Kabbalism. They constantly talk about being attached to things. And I can go into the explanations, and here, for example, of it's references in Tao Te Ching, but some things are misimplied. And they're not really talking about attachments. Yet I hear these people talking like masters, and I'm like shocked. Because I hear, and these are quotes that I've read, that people who consider themselves masters of Taoism and Buddhism, and they construe things wrong. And it's sort of obvious. But for some reason, because they have a name stamped on them, when it's passed down as Kripo Ko, of information going back down, that it's actual fact. And I always accentuate to people who are listening to me, even though you listen, question even what I say, learn and understand for your own self. This is what's important. So, there's a quote, and I'll go through a few of them. One of them, it says, in dwelling, live close to the ground, in thinking, keep to the simple. And this is a famous quote in Tao Te Ching. But what does it really mean? Many will assume this implies, you know, like not build mountains out of your life, in both physical and spiritual, keeping it simple, which is true. Steer away from unnecessary drama. That is true. But also what it's really implying is it's talking about your thoughts. It's talking about not keeping perhaps scattered thoughts. And these scattered thoughts are creating more attached and unnecessary ones. And this quote is simply being grounded. Think about it. Live close to the ground. In thinking, keep to the simple. The simple. So it's basically keep grounded and maintain, keep your thoughts in simplicity. And get rid of this. And you have scattered thoughts, and you're thinking, oh my God, what is this, and what about this, and what about this, and what about this, and blah, 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 and you have all these thoughts running. You're not grounded. So it's telling you, live grounded, thinking, keep it simple, meaning remove all those thoughts. It's not about attachments. It's not about attachments like what was implied. Then there's another quote, and it's often referred to, and it says, if you want to become full, let yourself be empty. So naturally, if you tell someone this, they'll think, oh, that means I got to get rid of everything. I have to be living like kumbaya with nothing in my house. No TV, none of this stuff. Oh my God, I got to get rid of all these attachment things. Oh my God, I got to live so simple, bare nothing, like living in a cave. Bullshit. That's not what that is. I mean, I'm telling you, you can see like people like from Buddhists and Taoists and this. But this is where the misinformation, the misthing that's been passed down, they lost what it really is entailing. They lost what it's the whole part of this is. This is what many assume we're talking about attachment, but it isn't. It is really, in fact, talking how to place yourself once again to a non-thought toward what in Kabbalism and is called nothingness, or it's Ein Sof. And then you're everything. It's like from nothingness, there's everything. When you remove the obsessional need that it becomes attached, that is, of course, the millions of dollars that makes it what makes it whole. when you think you need millions and millions. I need material wealth. I need this. I need this. So, yes. But then you have to think, when you relinquish all this need for abundance, is it really a compulsion of attachment? See, this is where I think there are the things that get misconstrued. There's compulsive desires, compulsive things that become things that you have a obscured thing of assumption that you need, but you really don't need. But what is really abundance? Abundance is, like as Bashar had once said, abundance is the ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it. Now, are you going to say, oh, wait, let go of all your abundance? Because that's abundance has become an attachment? No. Abundance can be all things. I mean, you wouldn't be able to speak. You wouldn't even be able to get this communication. You wouldn't be able to get this knowledge without enhancing your abundance. Because abundance is the ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it. And you wouldn't be able to sit here and listen to me or listen to anything if you didn't have any kind of abundance. You'd be basically in a jail, both mental, physical, and spiritual. So that's being misimplied. But the full understanding of, if you look at what it means to become full, yet let yourself be empty, is allow yourself connecting to the nothingness. It's telling you in reality, see, we're actually in reality nothing, we're empty, we're nothing. We are nothing. The universe is nothing, meaning space. We are physiologically nothing. If you look at what are down to the molecular level, down to the atomic level, we're 99.99% space, right? So that's space. That's nothingness. We're empty. Even with the atoms, what is energy? It's nothing. You can't even, can you put it, put energy in a box? No, it just moves. It's energy. Yeah, of course you can put a box and it explodes, right? But you know what I mean? It's non-defined. It's not finite, because there's nothing finite. In Tao, for example, what is Tao? Tao is the emptiness, the beyond the emptiness. In Kabbalism, is beyond the self. It's beyond the infinite, the nothingness. Then beyond the empty bowl, which is God. It's the emptiness beyond the emptiness. It's what you and us and the universe really are. That is the reality. We're not just space and physical, but in true form, like I said, we're also within energy. What is energy? Nothingness. So that's what it's talking about, not attachments, as what it's implying people assume. And now if you want to be given everything, give up everything. And what is that implying? Does that mean giving up all your goods? No. Does that mean giving up all your attachments? Letting go, it's talking about trusting. It's meaning when you giving up and allow the universe to have trust. You trust within the universe. It's letting go. It's letting go of your anger attachments. It's letting go of your obsessive desires. Then you are truly free. And I'll reiterate this later. If you realize that you've had enough, then you are truly rich. What's that mean? If you realize that you have enough, you truly are rich. You'll often find that, and this goes into actual attachments of things, what it's saying is that most people think of physical items, like they're constantly have this obsessive desire, again, obsessive desire, compulsive, of hoarding kind of way, to take things and get by and have more and more and more. But when you die, let me ask you, do you take your cars, your jewelry, your iPhone to the grave? No. Fancy clothes, do you take them to the grave? No. So what it's saying is, when you have enough things, how many cars do you really need? How many houses do you really have? All those people think they're wealthy and they have all this house and this island, that. Are they truly rich? No. Because when they die, they don't take those things with them. These things become weighted ones, and they become karmic ones. And the karmic ones are the ones that overcome and you must learn to relinquish. And that includes both things that you have issues with. So what this also implies is not just the physical things, but also in spiritual contexts. What it's talking about also is your luggage that you take with you from lifetime to lifetime. And the luggage, there's experiences, and there's the weighted luggage, which is the karma, or we call in Hebrew, tikkun, the things you need to fix. So you need to take these things and fix them. These are the weighted karmic things. So imagine luggage, and as they get further, get lower and lower. Now, the more luggage you have, you become down, your energy is lower. The less luggage, you get rid of the karma things, you become more enlightened, you're heading toward your true self. In reality, which I also tell my clients and a lot of people, is that we have, in reality, we're nothing but energy, right? We have a frequency that vibrates. So, by getting rid of old karma, you're increasing your frequency. Getting rid of the luggage. Get it? You need from lifetime. And as you do, you're getting heading toward your truer self. Now, this luggage often is implied your Akashic records. It has evidence. So, when you hear that thing, that's what it's talking about. But Akashic records are not just your luggage. And that's your karmic lessons. You also have experiences you take to. Those experiences that you have are not weighted down. But those experiences do create your own individual perspective. They give you your individuality. All your experiences are yours. You're very unique. You're very special. Every single person is special. Every soul is unique in its own individual experience. Wow. Next, when there is no desire, all things are at peace. Again, let me clarify you on desire. Now, this is where you often hear this broadcast with even in Buddhists says, oh, we got to get rid of desire. Well, excuse me, if you didn't have desire, desire not to have desire is a desire. All right? So you can't do that. So again, let me clarify what is desire. You can't let go of desire because, again, desire is literally your will. You will things through desire. You will things by your desire. Desire allows you to move, to create. If you couldn't have desire, you would simply be something like a tree. You wouldn't move. But when it becomes obsessive or a compulsive obsession, that's where you can't live without it, or you assume you can't live without it. That's where it becomes a weighted karmic attachment. And this is what it should not have been used, desire, but more correctly, probably an obsessive compulsion. You should have added an adjective, maybe. This is what it's meant. So when your compulsive desires are gone, you are at peace. Now, let's say, what's a compulsive desire? Let's say, I have to have this every morning. I have to fold my bed exactly perfect. I have to do this. I have to have that. These are compulsive desires. Why do you have them? Why do you feel that it has to be like this? These are for your compulsive desires that you have to deal with. When you don't have them, you're not really free from them. If you can't live without having them done, then they become a weighted karmic event. And everybody, you can't judge them. Everybody has their own. And they're the person who has to go through them. You can explain and come realization and aware of them and let them learn on them, but you can't judge them or work them through their karma because you have gone through their same karma in one lifetime or another. We've all done things in our lifetimes. Nobody here has ever walked on water. There's never been really, Jesus is never perfect, Buddha's never perfect, Moses, nobody's been perfect. I would say, none of them. Everybody has had issues. So that's what that meant. That's how I had to clarify on what desire is. Now be content with what you have and you rejoice in the way things are. You realize there is nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you. This is, I can't say even better than this. Be content with what you have. Rejoice in the way things are, and when you realize there's nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you. It's having grace. It's saying, thank God, I have everything. Everything's perfect. Everything has perfect timing. When you have this, you're at the focus. You're at where things are. That is really essentially, as Buddha would say, there's no way to happiness. Happiness is a way. This is what's talking. This is what's in Kabbalism called being in the moment of joy. Being in the joy for where you're at the moment. So you have to have and rejoice in the way things are. Again, when you realize this, there's nothing lacking. Can't say it any better than that. Now, in the pursuit of knowledge, every day is something is added. In the practice of, for example, in Taoism, every day something is dropped. This says that work. You must work on removing your karmic attachments, both physical and non. This includes all compulsive desires. So what it's saying is, every day you're adding knowledge, becoming aware of things. This is, some people call it the living meditation, whether it's in Kabbalism or Taoism or Buddhism. Every day you have to be conscious of trying to remove detachments. And I'll explain these individually attachments in due course, even more so, more detailed, both individually and within humanity. The master power is like this. He lets all things come and go effortlessly without desire. What does that say? Basically, trust. He never expects results, thus he never is disappointed. He is never disappointed, thus his spirit never grows old. In other words, he has no expectations. When you have no expectations, you're having, again, what is that? Trust. You're not a worry. Okay? You can put things out there, wanting things the best, and then you just go with it. Trust. I have three things to teach, as one Tao master would say, as this is from Lao Zedong: simplicity, patience, compassion. These are your greatest treasures. Think about it. Simplicity, patience, compassion. Simplicity meaning getting everything simplified. And this is what I try to often take. Things, people make things more complicated in spiritual terms to make more books, more this and that. When in reality, things are really simplified. That's why I say you're nothing but energy that vibrates. Think about that. You either increase your energy or decrease your energy. Either vibrate faster or not vibrate. Either raise it or lower. Raising it, you see your perception increases. It's really simple. We're never the same because we're energy, we're a verb. We're constantly, everything's simple. It's more simple than you think. When you look at things with an infinite aspects, without constantly putting labels, then things come understandingly. My words are called understandings, but true wisdom is without words. When you try to explain them, they come complicated, but you head to a direction of simplicity, it's actually you understand things a lot easier. Patience. Patience is, we all have to learn a little patience. Sometimes we want to hesitate. One thing we want now. One thing we want faster than we want. This patience is basically, sometimes we just have desires and compulsive desires that happen faster than normal. So that implies a lot of time. Sometimes things come in at a perfect point. It's not to sit there and go, wait around, but something, you have to be persistent, but sometimes you have to have patience for these things to happen. And even with yourself, allow yourself to grow. Nothing, some people are faster, some people are less. There's no race. This spirituality is not a race course. It's not a racetrack. Everybody is at their own pace. So have patience with yourself. Baby steps. But as long as you're moving forward and placing effort. Compassion. Now, compassion is often misconstrued. I think compassion, people think it's just, I have to have compassion for all things living, blah, blah. But what does compassion really do? It is really expressing that we are absolutely connected to all things. And you have compassion for somebody suffering. This is often played within Buddhism. Compassion for somebody suffering, you're saying, wow, I'm being empathetic. I'm feeling that person's suffering. What you're doing is you're actually getting to, it's a vehicle to get you to a reality that we're truly connected to one another. That's all it is. What is love? When you love somebody, you're really feeling the connection of the other soul. You're experiencing the connection to other things. It's a vehicle for our souls to come to realization that we are truly connected. And then it is said that the master has no possessions. The more he does for others, the happier he is. The more he gives to others, the wealthier he is. And what does he mean by the master has no possessions? It's not like he has no books and this and that. He probably doesn't. He could probably get down to the bare things where he doesn't need a computer or anything. And then he's absolutely, completely satisfied. That is true. But think about it. Would that master be living in a cave? Would he be separate from everybody? But truly without any possessions, would say to somebody, you're basically a hermit. It'd be very difficult in our world of societies, in any societies, any humanity, without any kind of possessions. Would he not eat his food with what? His hands? Would he not have a bowl to put his food in of rice? That's a possession. It's more the possessions is spoken of, I believe, this is what I believe, is more indicative to your having no more, your compassions are lessened. You don't have this attachments toward things, to other issues, upsets about things, being vindictive or been upset or compulsive or feeling any of these things. This is what this is implying and stating. I mean, you can look around the world. From individual to all humanity. And you can see what they are, what these attachments are. Theirs, yours, ours. Are they anger? Are you really upset with your someone or some people? I mean, moms and dads or siblings. Are you mad because your mom was abusive or your dad? Your siblings, your brother, your sister? Are you angry with your neighbors? Do you have issues with a boss or employee or fellow worker or your lover or past lover? Are you wife or husband or girlfriend or boyfriend, friends or supposed enemies? These are your attachments. Man, I hate that dude. Boa, what did he do to me? That bastard. If you hold on to that, that becomes an attachment. That anger is attachment. When you heal, when somebody does healings, you release an anger. What are you doing? You're releasing that attachment. Did you feel abandonment? Oh, I lost somebody. My dad left me a little. My mom. Feeling like loss of self-worth because somebody's not going to be there for you. So you have the compulsion to feel needed. A compulsion is an attachment. I'm compulsive, I need this drug, I need a compulsion to take a drink, I need a compulsion to smoke this cigarette. I need this compulsion to have certain things done in a certain way. Without them, I'd be fragmented. Everything can be a neat and orderly conduct, that's a compulsive. Things totally thrown all over the place, that's compulsion too. Hoarding, compulsive. Compulsiveness can be other things. It can be sex, drugs. I have to buy these clothes. I have to go to the shop. Compulsive toward money. I want more. I need more. I need more. Power. I have more than all the money I need, but now I want to be have more control over people, more control of situations, more political control. Compulsive. Vanity. How do I look? Oh my God. Fix my lips. Fix my nose. Fix my ears. Bigger tits. Smaller tits. Vanity. Compulsiveness. And then these attachments have other aspects. Because they create stress over time. You'll be sad, depressed, up, down, happy, down. Because compulsiveness and all these attachments create karma upon karma. And that is what dharma karma is. These compulsiveness attachments, these obsessions, the obsessiveness. It is often said karma creates suffering, which creates a delusion. So my question is, then what is your reaction? And what happens when you do good deeds? Like merit, something good. You give somebody a gift or food or whatever. Or you teach somebody, give them information. What does this do? It brings blessing. It brings further to you, to your truer self. It actually reverts its karma. My late teacher, Janae St. Clair, used to call, when we die, when we reincarnate into our bodies, she used to say that we come in and we have like a paint by numbers chart when all our experiences are laid out. Like we've pre-created before we come in our body most of our experiences, but it's co-created, of course. And so when we come into an experience, it's our reaction. So basically, color by numbers is like, okay, I'm going to be living in, let's say, a bad situation. I live in South Central and bad area in LA, for example. Do I grow up to be a gangbanger, or do I learn to overcome it? If I was sexually abused, what would be my reaction to that? If I lost my parents, what would happen? If I grew up in Africa and did a lot of violence in front of me, or in the Middle East, what is my reaction? Get it? It's always what's your reaction. These are karmic consequences we learn to get rid of, not add to them. If we add to them, it's our reaction. If we act to them negatively, we add more attachments. We add the more weight on our luggage. You're lowering your frequency. So look within the politics of our attachment, our politics of today. I mean, think of it in a global scale. Think about it. This is not just about the individual now. You can go even broader. What about the compulsiveness to think of being division? The us versus them. That's a compulsive attachment. How about the Democrats versus the GOP? Republicans. The liberal versus the conservative. The right versus the left. My way or the highway. My God is better than your God. Muslim versus Jew versus Christian versus Hindu versus whoever. How about Shiite versus Sunni? Black versus white? These are all compulsive attachments. They create karma upon karma upon karma. Attachments. And learning to letting go of these attachments, do what? What would happen if you let go of these attachments? Letting go of these attachments is the direction. It allows you to lose these karma attachments, allows you to what? Become a greater, heading toward a greater of your true self. Look at, give you an example of the Middle East, for example. If they didn't have this us versus them mentality, what would happen? People would have a greater sense of themselves. Look at a woman, how they're treated. in the Middle East. What's greeting karma upon karma attachments? More anger. They go through some negative circumstances, and what's the reaction and reaction and reaction? How about killing back and forth? You kill me, I kill you, I kill me, I kill you. It never ends. And then what happens is the people are born, one day you're born a Muslim, one day a Jew, one day a Christian, one day you recycle, and then you become the other person. It just never ends. When does it end? That's the cycle with the attachment. It's like, look at like two gears of two wheels. That's what karma is. It's like two wheels. When they come together, they need to merge. When you let go, they're no longer necessary, and the wheels fall. And think about the weight, the karmic weight on you. Those heavy, heavy suitcases upon you individually and upon you as humanity. Now, I'm not saying, again, I reiterate, I'm not saying not to speak your mind. Do speak. This is not to say express your free speech. I say express your free speech. This is not to say question or even question me or question anything. This is not to say to question those who govern you. I say question them. This is a different. This is our attachments. Again, I'm letting go of attachments, but this is not to say not to speak your mind. Speak. This is not to say express your free speech. Express it. This is not to say question things. Question them. This is not to say question those who govern you or are above you or in any form. Question them, but do so without anger. Do so for inquiry of truth. Do so for justice. Do so for the greater good, both for the greater good and the individual good. Do so, but without anger, without hatred, without resentment. Do so as they are us. We are all but one. We are like leaves on the tree with different views, connected to the same branches, to the same common trunk, rooted to our universe, which is simply nothingness. I wrote one time, a long time ago, something I wrote. I'm going to, sort of like a poem kind of thing. But it sort of implies to, I didn't realize, sometimes you write things and sometimes you realize it implies, talks about things that later I'm going to talk about. I didn't even realize it. Talk about forfeiting. I think I may have read this in a past show, but I think it applies to the discussion of today. And it's called A Simple Step by myself, of course, by Andrew Fetter. So here it goes. Taking a simple step, pondering the question, all that remains as the moonlight just wanes. When difficulty arises, suffering from the decay of dreams, wild child of the heart, laughter is in the park. When true nature is the calling, the blind soul still complaining, the strings of the harp still ringing, the spring of the ocean always singing. The true God within and the universe of the all, while the lies of the cloth endure, the pain of its separation always near. The tree of crows perches, the flower of the raven blooms. Wisdom is nothing, and understanding is clothing. Past is within future, and future has nothing from the past. While digging fills the hole of illusion, the hole creates the forest of confusion. A leaf never views its tree, as a root never feels the bark. Knowing is becoming as being the flowing. As the flowing water of feeling is simply the decorum. The wheel simply spins. The hamster simply continues repeating the same old with no end. The illusion of the wheel with no men. Why being that question? How being the answer? The cause from the effect brings upon the continued game, thinking or nothing while feeling insane is lame. Cars in a parking lot, highways having a direction, rear view mirrors being the movie screen, while losing the moment until one screams. Having two or three or four with no end. The facade of the one being the Teutonium dream. The flames are eternal, the hearts being nocturnal. Choices of all and many. Desires with causes while not taking responsibility. Being the insanity, the true intention, a smile of vanity. The true nature being the path, the way toward being. Joy of neither happiness or suffering. The wisdom beyond the nothing, while the understanding simply being its covering. That was, of course, by me. And and you have to think about it. Think about all that we do. We move from dwelling to next. The edit is our experience that weighed us by our own choices. Think about it. Our choices are what create our dharma. Our choices are our desires. So it's sort of ignorant to say you have get rid of your desires. Because your desire is your choice. But it is not to say that you have compulsive choices or compulsive negative choices. Of course, I'm saying this from maybe you would say judging it, but what? You either increase your frequency or raise your frequency. That's sort of like absolute. It's like energy is increasing or decreasing. Not a judgment, just what is. There is actually no right and wrong in the universe. It just things happen for what they are. It's like a machine. It's already set in motion. And you can choose to increase your frequency or choose to lower it. You can choose to have more attachments and more karma. That's your choice. Or you can choose, again, this is your desire, your choice, to remove these attachments by letting go, like I said earlier. Not having them. So, as I said, think about all what we have moved from one dwelling to the next. And when I say dwelling to next, I'm talking about your life from lifetime to lifetime. And yet it's our experiences that are our choices. And they certainly are. And with that, I want to again thank you all for listening and continue listening. I'll be lining up some future guests. So I will keep you posted. As now I have just recently moved and I can now set my schedule because I did not know how I was going to. I don't like having guests or pre-scheduling desks and then not having been able to set those up in motion. I like to keep my word. Integrity is an important thing. So I usually don't want to. I had to play it by ear. So I apologize for any mistakes in the last 2 to 3 months as I was getting through changes and move-ins and stuff like that. But I will be back on more continued schedule. And I will have some very special guests that I'm right now presently lining up. And I will give you dates and times. I will keep on order of that. Again, I want to thank you all for listening again. And I look forward to all my future shows because I do very much enjoy this. I've been doing this for over 6 years now. We're heading into my 7th year on BBS Radio with When Pigs Fly. And I feel honored and very grateful that I've had all the experience with all my past guests and listeners and responses. And I feel honored to any your input on anything. So feel open. I have open door whenever you have any questions or input. Feel free to contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com. You can see my email address. Feel free, just contact me there. If you got ideas or you want to be on my show, that's fine as well. I'm very selective, though. I always want certain things, certain people, just like you would expect certain things to have on a show. Again, I want to thank you all. I love to you all. God bless you all. And I'm going to close with one of my favorite groups. You probably know this one. It's called, they're, of course, Pearl Jam. And it's Alive. I'm Alive. So here you go.
Thank you.
thank you, and God bless you all, and have a glorious weekend. Goodbye.